Amen. Wasn't that good? I just enjoy, I enjoyed that couple and enjoyed that ministry. So praise the Lord. All right, Jonah chapter 4. We're going to finish it up this evening. Finishing up the book of Jonah. Now, I will say, in the spirit of full disclosure, I don't know if this was recorded or not, but I preached this message here, and I want to say it was over 3 years ago. I think it was about when I first came, and we were just talking with that to Sue beforehand. It was 4 years ago yesterday. That's how long my wife and family and I have been here in ministry at New Testament. Can you believe it's been that long? For us, it seems to have just zipped by, but it was 4 years yesterday, so we praise the Lord for that. But I did preach a similar version of this message because I was talking about anger, and I was using Jonah as an example to teach us, and I was using the question that God asked Jonah, not once, but twice in this chapter. And so if it sounds familiar, that means you have a great memory, or I just really delivered it last time. So whichever way it was, if you don't remember it, then perhaps your memory's not that great, or I didn't do a good job at delivery. But this is a helpful sermon and a helpful truth from God's word, and I have benefited greatly from it. So Jonah chapter 4 is where we're going to be. So I'm going to start off asking you a couple questions. And these questions will help get you in the frame of mind that will help us understand what we're going to talk about tonight. So, number one, what makes you happy? What makes you happy? Not just what makes you happy, but what makes you happiest, okay? And then on the flip side of that, what makes you angry or sad? What is it that makes you feel that way? So when you think back over this past week, at the times when you've been exceptionally happy, what was it that made you happy? Or if you've been angry, what was it that has made you angry? If we believe something or someone will make us happy, then we tend to gravitate towards it, don't we? We enjoy the things that make us happy. Let's just face it. Chocolate makes me happy. And I know that makes other people amongst us happy as well. I gravitate towards that, you know, but then, you know, jubilant people make me happy, happy people and good things. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I enjoy and I would be attracted to it. And the opposite is true. Things that make me angry, things that I don't like, I would tend to avoid. And that's just that's the way we are. We tend to gravitate towards things that make us happy, and we tend to avoid things that don't. So I think we could agree tonight that we set up values and we act on those values. Those things that would attract us, or the things that would push us away. So here is the thought that I want us to consider tonight. What if those are wrong? What if the things that make you happy maybe shouldn't be making you happy? What if the things that make you angry really shouldn't be making you angry? What if your values are not quite based on Scripture? So this is the area that I want us to consider, because obviously Jonah, we left him last week, and he was pretty upset. He was mad. He was exceedingly angry at what God was doing with the Ninevites, and he should not have been, right? And this evening, we're going to see where he was mad again, and he was also, for a very brief moment of time, exceedingly glad. And so we have a lot of ups and downs with Jonah here, and I intend, my intention and my prayer is that we will learn from this tonight and figure out some things that will help us. So if these areas are out of whack, they certainly can seriously limit our effectiveness for God. And so we need to address it. We're going to use Jonah chapter 4 to do it. So I don't want to spend a lot of time reviewing, so I'm just going to run down the story of Jonah in a very quick nutshell, and I bet and I know that you guys would pretty much understand each aspect of this story. So, did God tell Jonah to go to Nineveh? Yes, he did. Did Jonah go to Nineveh? Not immediately, right? He ran. He went south. He went to Joppa, boarded a ship to Tarshish, paid the fare, and things got really wavy, right? God caused a storm because in his graciousness, he wasn't going to permit his servant to run. There were going to be consequences. And of course, the mariners on the boat are wondering what's going on. And they finally come to him who's down in the bottom of the boat. And they say, hey, you know, don't you care? We're about to die here. What's going on? And he ends up telling them that he's the servant of the one true God. And he's not in obedience. And they're like, what is wrong with you? You're crazy. well, what you need to do is throw me over, Jonah said, and it will stop. And they were hesitant, but they did. And just like that, the storm stopped. And that was the end of the story, and Jonah died and was punished forever, right? Nope. God was gracious, wasn't he? And what did he provide? He provided Mr. Fishy to come and swallow him up. And for 3 days and three nights he spent in the belly of that fish. Did he repent in the belly of the fish? Yes, he did. And that just goes to show you, you know, God will hear you. God listens, and no matter where you are, he's in the depths of the ocean inside a fish, and God is listening. And he repents, he gets right with God, and God forgave him. The fish spit up Jonah onto the land, and God gave Jonah his job back. And so off to Nineveh he goes, makes the trip really quick, and tells the Ninevites exactly what God tells him to do. And what happens but that they repent. From the king all the way down to the lowest in the city of Nineveh, 120,000 people strong, 60,000, the scripture says, they repent. And was Jonah happy about the Ninevites repenting? No, he was not. He was not at all happy about it. And he was in fact angry, the scripture says. And that's where we left off last week. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? He says, better for me to die than to see this. I can't handle it. So let's pick it up there. Jonah 4 verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Just to point out there that God delivered him from his grief. That was a gracious thing of God to do, right? You know, this struck me today as I was looking at this. You know, what would you not do for your own child to help them be comfortable, even if they were disobedient? Even if they were causing you grief, and even if they were not doing what they were supposed to do, wouldn't you still do everything you could to love them and to help them? And I just think that's so amazingly gracious that God decides to grow this gourd up. And he says, because of his grief, to help him with his grief. So Jonah was at this horrible place, and God still loved him and grew that gourd up. I just thought that touched me today. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. One writer I was reading said he was deliriously happy about this plant that grew up over him. But verse 7, God's going to teach him something here, or try, or attempt. God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well? Here's the question again. Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Interesting. The book of Jonah ends with a question mark, right? As simply God providing Jonah with an opportunity to do some evaluation here. To look at himself and think, is this good for you to be angry? So we need to have this part of the story in our minds. God has been willing to forgive the Ninevites because they have repented and they have essentially put their faith in him. And Jonah responded to that by being angry. So God's question to Jonah was, doest thou well to be angry? We have really no record of Jonah answering that question, which he may very well not have. Instead, he goes to the outskirts of the city, and he sits out there, and he builds this little booth, because, of course, sitting in the desert is not comfortable in the sunshine. So he goes out, and he sits, and you have to wonder exactly what he is thinking about while he's out there. In my mind, because I understand Jonah's mindset at this point, he's hoping that perhaps the Ninevites will relent on their repenting, right? That perhaps they will not go through with this, and God will judge them. And if God is going to judge them, you better believe he wants a front row seat to that. You know, that to me is probably what Jonah is thinking. He just can't stand being there, seeing God's grace all oozing all over the Ninevites, these terrible people. And so he's hoping that that will change. And so he's going to watch this happen. Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? And I am always quick to point out here that what we are witnessing, what we are seeing is God, who is in a sense counseling one of his prophets, right? God is carefully taking him through these questions and offering assistance to help him change. The opportunity we're seeing here is quite important because here's one of God's servants who's heading in the wrong direction, and frustratingly so. He's messing up in a big way, and we get to hear God's diagnosis. We're essentially learning not just what the what, but the why. What is causing this? Is this good for you to be angry? Since every one of us wants to be exactly the opposite of Jonah, I would hope, we want to make decisions that are right, and we want to make choices that will take us in the right direction. We want to please the Lord. Now, we want to do things that are effective and pleasing to God. We want to find out exactly what Jonah did wrong so we can avoid it like the plague. So here's some things that I want to point out tonight. Number one, we will often fail because we are trying to change the wrong things. We will often fail because we're trying to change the wrong things. When we think about the story we just read, we can think about it in a few different ways. For instance, we could talk about the events or the people in the equation. So in this story, particular story, I'm thinking of God and what God did here. So God, he was willing to forgive the people of Nineveh. He allowed that gourd to grow up and shade Jonah to relieve his grief. The next morning, he allowed that worm to eat the gourd up, and it withered and fell away. So that's what God was doing. So we could also think about in the story the behavior or the principal person's behavior. Who's the person? The principal person here is Jonah. And in this case, Jonah, he goes out to the outskirts of the city. He's speaking. He's angry with the Lord. He essentially lashes out at God for doing this. Now, I knew that you were a gracious God, he says. I knew that this was going to happen. And he built this booth up, this shelter, to find some shade from the sun. Or we could talk about the emotions. So we got the people in the story. We got God and the circumstances. We got Jonah and his primary behavior. And then we have the emotion. And the emotion that we see here is Jonah's anger. He is angry. And so when we view it that way, he's angry. But then, of course, when that gourd grows up, you have to wonder what he's thinking, because the Bible says he was exceedingly glad. So he's very up and down here, isn't he? Very angry, exceedingly glad. You know, this is terrible what's happening. Oh, look, God grew this enormous, this gourd up to protect me. I must be special to God. But then the next morning, you know, it was a bug and it's gone. So he's up and down. So if we were able to interview Jonah and say, hey, Jonah, what's the problem here? What's the problem? What do you think Jonah's beef was? What was the issue that Jonah was angry at? Jonah, what needs to change in order for you to be happy? What would he say? Well, he's certainly not going to talk about himself in the equation, right? It's not me. It's not my attitude that needs to change. In fact, the one who needs to change here is who? God. He wants God to change. It's quite evident. The one who needs to change here is God. The problem is God. He should not have been willing to forgive these wicked Ninevites. He should not have allowed that worm to come and eat my gourd. God is the one who is wrong. We could have easily gotten Jonah in a very heated discussion about how passionately angry he was at God, and it was God's fault, and he's the one that needed to be changed. And he would have been passionate about it, but he would have been passionately wrong, right? He would have been passionately wrong. Let's look at this from a different perspective. When someone in our world today, and perhaps even in our culture, is having problems, which one of the things that we talk about there often gets the most attention? Well, I would venture to guess that probably the emotions, right? Because we are emotional people, and a lot of the attention is focused on help. When I say that, I mean helping that person feel better. Right? So, you come to the doctor, the doctor, and you have this problem. Let's try and fix it. You have anxiety that let's try and fix that. We have a drug for that. You have this problem, we have a drug for that. Or, you know, a less sophisticated view of this would be, whatever I can do to make myself feel better. So I douse myself in alcohol, or I'll abuse substance, or I'll go to whatever I can that makes me feel good. That's what the world is focused on, by the way. The world is focused on feeling better. But the problem is, that doesn't deal with the root of the problem. That person will fail because they're trying to change the wrong thing, emotions only. You know, either all that energy and all of that horsepower is put into trying to change the circumstances, right? But, you know, the problem with trying to change your emotions, trying to change the circumstances, trying to change your feelings, all of that, sometimes you can't control it, right? Have you ever been in circumstances you wish you could get out of, but you just couldn't? You know, that you can't control those type of things. In many cases, it's impossible. Or maybe all of your energy and horsepower is put into trying to change the way you feel or the emotions, which again, at least if we're talking about change in a lasting way, is not possible. So essentially, that leaves us with trying to change our behavior. And just trying to change our behavior alone does not work well either. You know, if the Johnny and Billy are arguing over a toy that they're both playing with, if I go to them and say, Johnny, who had the toy first? Is that, well, Billy did. Okay, Johnny, go get another toy. All right, so I just addressed the behavior, and Johnny went and got another toy. But what happens 5 minutes later? Johnny wants the toy that Billy has, or Billy sees that Johnny got a better toy, and so Billy wants that toy. So the argument ensues again. And so dealing with just the behavior alone is not enough. And if I'm going to grow that up and try to apply it to you and I as adults that are here and that are listening tonight, all of us have tried to change that way in some aspect of our lives. I'm never going to, you know, plank again. I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to do that again. Some of us too often end up like Jonah, where we're not accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. We're not being productive servants because we're working overtime at addressing the wrong things. We need to be addressing the heart issue. I imagine that most of us wouldn't have to go back too far to think about examples of how we put way too much horsepower in trying to change things alone. And that brings us to another part of our text tonight, and that is this, that God gives us emotions. You know, emotions are a good thing, can be a good thing, and God has us these emotions so that it will reveal the condition of our hearts. For instance, doest thou well to be angry? So anger is an emotion, right? And God asks that question twice of Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? So this angry emotion that you're having, are you doing well to have that? God asked Jonah. He didn't say, Jonah, stop being angry this instant. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you know, stop the behavior associated with this anger. Stop pouting. Try to change your behavior. He also didn't say, your anger's okay, because, yeah, you've been through something really rough, and it's hard to see these wicked people being forgiven, so that's okay. He didn't say that, any of that. He asked him a question. Doest thou well to be angry? So now Jonah has this opportunity to think about why he truly is angry. Why is he upset? Why is this emotion causing him such grief? Well, you know, the answer to these questions, let these emotions reveal the condition of your heart, which could be things such as your core values in life. So if I had a busy day in the office and I've had a lot of stress and I want to go home and relax, and that is primary for me. I want to go to my house. I want to relax in my chair. I want to sip a Diet Coke, and I just want to chill. And my kids are active, and they're moving around, and maybe they have some buddies over, and they're crashing about, and I'm angry because I'm not getting what I want, right? There's something, my value at that point is my own sweet serenity, the king of my own house, and I want things to be my way. And if that's my primary goal and that's my core value, then I am angry, right? So essentially, this is what Jonah is having the opportunity to consider. What is most important to you? What do you prize? What do you cherish? What do you love the most? It's not very hard to figure it out in your own life. Just take something away that you like and see how you handle it, right? Some of us are really comfortable with this particular thing. And if you take that away, I'm not going to respond very well to that. These values that we have, which need to be, as Christians, it needs to focus on God's glory and on Him alone. And I'll get to that. But these values, they fuel or they drive our thoughts and our interpretation of events, just like it's doing Jonah here. His core values are his wants, his desires, his needs, his understanding of the situation. That's his core value. It's all about Jonah. And because things are not going Jonah's way, he's upset. He's angry. He can't handle this. The proof is that people do not respond to the same events the same way. We're all different. I can't remember if I've used this illustration before, but let's just say that you are a boss and you have two employees underneath you. These two employees were hired at the exact same time. They're the exact same gender, they're the exact same age, and they're working the exact same job, and they're doing something wrong. And they're not doing something right. And you, as the boss, have to address these individuals whom you've known the same amount of time, who have had the same amount of training, and you're going to go to them to save their face, you know, so they're not embarrassed. You're going to pull them into your office, and you're going to address them one at a time. And you're going to say, hey, this is not right. This is causing our production to go down. And so I need you to kind of change what you're doing here and do it this way, and that will really help. And you go to the other person, that person leaves, and you pull that person in and you say the exact same thing. Hey, you know, what you're doing here is not quite right. It's slowing down production a little bit, and we want to really work on that. And if we do it this way, oh, it will really help. Are you guaranteed to get the exact same response from each of those persons? You don't know, right? Because there's an unpredictable part. So if this person is a person who values constructive criticism, and in their mind they're thinking, you know, I really want to do my best, and if I can do something better to be more productive, to help my company, man, that would be so great. Thank you for that. But if this person is like, I never do anything wrong, you know, and I really care a lot about what people think about me, and you're embarrassing me saying I'm doing something wrong, nothing's changed. The exact same thing was brought to them. You're doing this wrong. Yeah, now here's what we need to do to make it right. This person had the right attitude. Their core values were, I want to do right. I really want to add. Their core values over here was, this is so embarrassing. This is all about me. How dare they say I do wrong? You see, you're not guaranteed the same response. And you know what? The response to different issues of life are likely just as varied amongst those who are listening to me tonight. You know, how do we respond to life? You're not guaranteed to have the same response from everyone. A person that is interested in growing in the knowledge of the Lord and being what God wants us to be is going to focus on what it is that drives them. What's in there? I keep doing this because I want you to consider the heart. What is the heart? The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right? And so we have to focus on that. Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Why are you angry? Jonah is not focused on the fact that he, too, is a recipient of much grace from God, right? In fact, Jonah had just experienced salvation out of the sea, right? And was saved, and he's a prophet of the Most High God, and his people, he goes, and he's just not understanding that he's in the same boat the Ninevites were. He's just very full of pride. By the way, it's just anger often finds itself. In fact, I don't know. There is righteous anger. So, you know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So there are some things that we can be angry about and we can be right about it. But the type of anger we're talking about tonight often comes as a result of pride. I'm not getting my way. I'm not the king of my house tonight. Or I've done something wrong and I can't stand to think that it's possible that I've done something wrong. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Just like that teabag illustration in that book, Jim Berg, where you put that teabag in hot water and what's inside is going to come out. And if we put your life in hot water, what's inside is going to come out. God wants us, like Jonah, to let our emotions reveal the condition of our heart. So if you're tracking all of this, a good question to be asking right about now is, what are my core values? What are my core beliefs? Let's ask a different question. Let's ask, what were Jonah's? And we sort of addressed it already. But Jonah's core values were, I must have things my way. You know, not God's way. I must have things my way. When everyone in my life does things my way, then I will be happy. If they don't, I have a right to explode. That's pride, right? But that's what Jonah, essentially, that's where he finds himself. What does the happiness reveal about Jonah? He was exceeding glad of the gourd. So why was he exceeding glad? Let's ask it about the opposite emotion. He was angry because he wanted things done his way. Well, he got his way, right? A nice gourd to grow up, a big plant to shade him in this really hot desert. And the way that it miraculously came up, you know, because those things don't just grow overnight. God did that for him. And he was exceeding glad. And the values of his heart were very selfish. Ah, look at me, this wonderful shade. This is so terrific. God must be preparing the blow up so I can watch. And he wants me to be comfortable. This is where Jonah's values are. So let's consider that. Where are our values? Back to our question. What should my core values be? What should my core beliefs be? I don't think there's necessarily one right answer other than to say that we want to do things to the glory of God, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So that's important. But another truth that we could add to that is one of my core values should be growing in Christ's likeness. And we know we can look in Scripture and see where Christ was angry and why he was. And we can follow his example because Christ was perfect, right? So growing Christ's likeness is a great value to have. I want to be more like Jesus. And it's going to take some growth, right? It's going to take some mistakes and there'll be some issues. But I want to, one of the core values I want to have is to be growing in Christ, or I want to be a better at serving others. You know, serving others is a good way to get over selfishness and pride, where ministry to others is important. You know, putting your personal pleasure aside for the purpose of helping somebody else, for the purpose of serving someone else. Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What does your anger reveal about your core value? When's the last time you were mad? You know, I am a person that does not get mad very often. I just don't. I thank God for it, but it comes with its own set of struggles too, you know, because there are some things that you should be angry about, right? There's some things that anger is a good emotion if it motivates you to get right, right? Especially if it's directed at sin and directed at things that are wrong. So I honestly don't get mad very often, but I do sometimes get mad. And if I were to ask myself why I am mad, and sinfully so, it's going to be based in selfishness and pride because something didn't go the way I wanted it to. Something didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Something broke down that I didn't want to break down. You know, I might get mad if my vehicle doesn't start. You know why? Because that means something's wrong with my vehicle, right? I know that's irritating. So these are the kind of things we ask ourselves. What is it that makes us angry? What does your anger reveal about your core values? Is Jonah the only one within the sound of my voice that needs to consider exactly what it is and why we're getting angry? Or would you say to the Lord, you know, Father, please forgive me because I realize I've not been carefully guarding my heart. I've been trying to change everyone else. I've been trying to change the circumstances. I've been trying to change behavior, and I can't control everybody else. And so I need to resolve myself to knowing that God is in control, and I want to do all things that will glorify God. Therefore, I'm going to focus on doing the right thing. I'm going to focus on loving that person. I'm going to focus on sharing the gospel and ministering to others. I'm going to focus on what Jesus focused on. What does your happiness reveal about your core values? You know, what is it that we learned from this gourd that Jonah got exceedingly glad about? That he valued his comfort a whole lot. And he just to go from being angry to super happy. You know, and by the way, our happiness doesn't necessarily reveal something sinful about your life, but it could reveal something shallow. You know, if you are excited and super, super happy about the hockey team that you root for winning, and that's all you think about for days on end, and you're exceeding glad. There's nothing wrong with being happy about this particular hockey team winning, but if that's all you think about, it is shallow, right? What kind of things make you happy? I tell you what makes me happy is seeing those missionaries in these videos. That video we watched tonight, we knew a lot of those people. Wes Bartley in St. Lucia. think of what God has done with that structure that the claim team built. And some of those other structures and pastors there, they literally were meeting down, I can't remember the place, but they were meeting in the building that they had built there. They were worshiping in that building and talking about how God said something that spoke to their hearts. That makes me happy. That's exciting. And that's the eternal, right? That's focusing on eternity. Finally tonight, we need to take steps to cultivate our heart. Take steps to cultivate our heart. Say, Pastor Stricky, you've given us these instances, and you've asked us about our emotions and anger. And by the way, anger is just a focus. There's lots of emotions that we should be careful with. So how do we fix it? What do we do? Well, we focus on cultivating our heart and studying the Word of God. Be sure, first of all, you're saved, because obviously none of this is possible if you don't know Christ as your Savior. We had a great turnout this morning at Deerview. A lot of people there. And you never know what quite they're getting or what they're not, but I do know that people were listening, and I gave such a clear presentation of the gospel best as I could. And afterwards, I had this lady come up to me, and she said, "You're a really great preacher," you know. And I was like, "Oh well, you know, thank you, appreciate that. Thank you for listening." But she began to give testimony of her parents who were saved. She was saved when she was a 4-year-old girl, and you could tell that her life had been focused on the Lord, and her life had been focused on God. And so cultivating our heart is to first of all make sure that you're saved, and then ask questions of your emotions. If you're an emotional person, why am I sad right now? Why am I crying? What does that reveal about what I'm valuing right now? Why am I angry? What does that say about what's most important? We cultivate our heart by filling it with the Word of God. In Proverbs 4:4, God says, "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." So fill your heart with the Word of God. Cultivate good, godly friendship and fellowship. Church attendance is so important because of fellowship, right? The opportunity to talk with one another. And wasn't it great when we were able to have that barbecue outside? I mean, I talked to so many people and caught up with them and enjoyed hearing what God was doing and just enjoyed fellowship. So cultivating godly friendships. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Cultivate your heart by listening to good, godly music. How many times has a song come on and it just brings you to tears at God's amazing grace? I focused on that song in my devotion. If you watched my live stream last week, I talked about Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I went through verse by verse, and I did that today too at Deerview. And that song, it's just as you study it and know who wrote it, John Newton, who was a very wicked man before the Lord got a hold of his heart, it's amazing. God's grace is amazing. How amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That blessed old book that I hold in my hand, you know, it's true from beginning to end. I love that verse. It says, if you find when you read it, there's something wrong with you, not the book. You know, that's just listening to godly music and to cultivating godly friendships, studying the Word of God, doing all you can to grow. That's how we work our way out of a Jonah-like state where Jonah is angry. Can you imagine? Like, to me, it's really offensive to think of someone being angry at God's grace to somebody who doesn't deserve it, because I have God's grace and I don't deserve it. But you know, the Lord smote my heart the other day. I was on one of my morning walks. I get up pretty early and go for a walk, and the Lord brought someone to my mind, and I sort of had a rotten attitude towards that person. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, that is an individual to which God loves, whose Jesus' blood was shed for on the cross. And my attitude changed like that, because that was a bit of a Jonah thing to do, right? To have a problem with somebody because of something they're doing. But wait a minute, you know, God loves them. Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin. And just focusing on that helped me build my core values. That you'll never look into the eyes of someone whom Jesus did not die for, right? And it helps to realize that. It helps change our attitude, and that we need to build those values by cultivating a godly heart and not being like Jonah. So we can learn a lot from Jonah. You know, he did a couple things well and he did a couple things bad. And let's do what he did right by obeying and repenting, but don't do what he did wrong by running and getting angry at somebody else being a beneficiary of the grace of God. Father, we thank you so much for this account in your word that we can learn from. And Lord, that is an important question. Doest thou well to be angry? I don't think that we often consider that that is an opportunity. The question you asked is permitting Jonah to consider why he's angry. And Lord, I really truly believe that question is asked of us tonight. Why are we angry when we get angry? Why are we sad when we get sad? Why are we happy when we get happy? And as we begin to focus on those things, Lord, I just ask that you would reveal to us in our hearts where we need to change and where our values need to be remolded and what we can focus on to help control those emotions. And Lord, we do thank you for emotions. I enjoy laughter. I enjoy happiness. And Lord, there are times when I enjoy the tears and the ability to have these, we know, is a gift from you. But Lord, they often need to be called into check. And Lord, I know that that's possible through your word. And so I pray you'd help us to do just that. Help us to understand why we do the things that we do, and help us to use your word as a guidebook to do that. Thank you for all who have been here tonight. For those who are watching, I pray that you would bless them, and Lord, that you would help us as we grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.